praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 has been referred to as one of the most comforting and best known psalms. It's incredible how you know, how the Lord works things out, and sometimes when you battle with a message, and then the hymns that Steve has picked kind of go along with what the message is. And what I want to talk about today is hope. You know, we talk about Christmas being, you know, a time of glad tidings and great joy and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And Christmas is meant to be a time of hope. But for a lot of us, Christmas can be a time of discouragement, disheartening when something happens, when we lose a loved one. Christmas can be one of the toughest times of the year. But when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we always have that living hope. And that's what we're looking at today. You know, we're looking at seeking and searching on a Sunday morning, and how we are to seek the Lord. We are to seek the Lord's face. And we are told that if we seek Him, we will find Him. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, then you need to seek and search for Him, because He can be found and you can know Him as your personal Savior. If you are saved, then we know that Christ is the one that can give us hope in a hopeless situation. Christ can give us hope even when our whole world seems to be falling apart. David, as he is fleeing for his life, writes a psalm that tells us that there is hope in the person of the Lord. You know, sometimes our emotions are in a tug of war, depending on what life deals with us. Sometimes we are on top of the world and nothing can affect us. And, you know, we could literally go through the day with a spring in our step and a song in our heart, and nothing can alter that. And in other days, we don't even want to get out of bed because we think, I just can't face this. And our emotions are just in this complete and utter tug of war. You know, we never have a week where we are just victorious for the whole week. Sometimes we are battling between determination and doubt, between security and insecurity, between firmness and fearfulness, between trust and trembling, confidence and cowardice, being adamant or being anxious. Faith and fear fight for the domination of our emotions. So how can we claim the victory? Well, David gives us an insight and said there's just one thing that we should seek after. And that's what I want to look at today, is one thing I seek. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart should not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my heart be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Father, we are thankful for this day and for this time together. And we recognize that there are many people here today who may be facing that tug of war of emotions. We recognize the excitement that this time of year brings, but we also recognize the pain, suffering, and loss that can be almost emphasized, almost exaggerated because of this time of year. And Father, we just pray that whatever the need is here today, that we would come and seek Your face, that we would have that desire, that one thing, to literally dwell in the house of the Lord, to be in Your presence, to know Your presence, to feel Your presence, to be comforted by Your presence, to be strengthened by Your presence, to be helped by Your presence, to take confidence because that presence is always with us. So Father, we pray that you would help us today as we seek you, as we seek after being in your presence today, that you'd give us the help we need and the hope that we need. For we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. You know, you might be thinking, well, what on earth does this psalm have to do with me? David was hounded by his enemies. He says that he faced battle after battle. He said that he was surrounded by enemies, that his foes came upon him, that there was a host camped against him. We see words like war and enemies and warfare. And you might think, well, I'm not in a fight. I'm not in a battle. I don't have, you know, an enemy that's coming towards me. But on a spiritual sense, we do. We have the enemy of fear that wants to kind of gain that victory in our lives. We have the enemy of our own feelings, of our own emotions, of our own mind. You know, sometimes the mind can play such incredible, and it's so powerful, can play such incredible tricks on us that we literally have these arguments with ourselves, that we literally convince ourselves of things that are going wrong, and there's a battle that rages in our mind all the time. And sometimes we feel like we are surrounded and that we are trapped, and that no matter where we turn, our emotions are all over the place. David is in a difficult situation. Physically, you might not be in a difficult situation today. Physically, you might be a mess. Spiritually, you might not be in a difficult situation today. Spiritually, you might be all over the place. Mentally, you might not be in a difficult situation today, but mentally, you might be an absolute wreck. And I want you to know, and I need you to know, that there is hope. It's incredible how much the world talks about hope. J.K. Chatterton said, there is no medicine like hope, no incentive so great, and no tonic so powerful as expectation of something better tomorrow. Emily Dickinson, in one of her poems, said, hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul. The dictionary describes hope to have a wish to get or do something, or for something to happen or be true, especially something that seems possible or likely. Hope, from a world's perspective, is just a wish or a desire. But that's not what biblical hope is. The Bible teaches us something vastly different. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. The biblical word for hope is a deep, settled confidence that God will keep his promise. My hope is not in this world. My hope is not in the world system. My hope is not in the leaders of this world. My hope is not in people or places or things. My hope is in the Lord. I know that each and every one of us has a battle of some kind today. Maybe you are battling about salvation. Maybe you are battling about whether Christianity is true or not. Maybe you are battling with something going on at home. Maybe you were battling because of a loss of a loved one. Maybe you were battling because of something going on in work. Maybe you were battling because of something that's going wrong with your health. Oh, we know we have battles, and sometimes we're sick and tired of battles. But do you have hope? Do you have hope? We can have hope. Why? Because we have confidence in him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David begins this psalm by saying, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And it's incredible how David uses that word, my. David tells us that God is his God. That's when he said, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not good enough to know him as a shepherd or the shepherd, but do you know him as your shepherd? Somebody that you can turn to in a time of distress. Somebody that you can turn to when the trials are buffeting you. Someone that you can turn to when things are not going the way that you think they should do in this life. David said the Lord is the light, that he is his salvation, that he is his strength. As light, God helps us in times of darkness, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We are living in dark days, in dark times. You don't have to be clever to turn on the TV and realize that this world is in a mess and it's getting darker and darker by the minute. How incredible that Christ, as the light of the world, gives us the light that we need. What does a light do? A light illustrates where the obstacles are. You know, I used to drive the kids nuts. My dad used to do it to us when we were kids. And I used to do it to our kids. And I'm sure that at some point Hannah will do it to hers. It's just one of those things. How many of you have ever driven through a dark lane in the night and then turned all the lights off in the car? Anybody ever done that? Just three of us in the whole church. You know, it's like, it's brilliant. The kids are like, Dad, don't! I think, oh, it'll be all right. But deep down, you know in your mind, what are you doing? This is stupid. But all of a sudden, for a minute, everything just goes black. And then there's a relief when the lights go on. Why? Because it shows you where the road is. That's why they were invented. So that we didn't have accidents. It's nighttime driving. God is the light, and that's what David's talking about. In difficult times, God's word and God's presence and God's peace and God's hope and God's joy is the light that we need to guide our path. It helps us to see where we're going and helps to illustrate and illuminate and highlight where the difficulties are and where the obstacles are and where the problems are. David said, "The Lord is my light. He is my salvation." As light, he delivers us from darkness, but as salvation, God delivers us from damnation. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. As salvation, God secures our souls. And David took confidence in the fact that he knew the Lord personally. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He is the strength of my life. As strength, God delivers his people from defeat. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we start the day completely defeated. And we kind of make a conscious decision that nothing is going to go right today and everything's going to get on top of us and we're automatically on a backward step. But our confidence is in him because he's our light, because he's our salvation, because he is our strength. And that gives us the hope that we need when we face these battles. When we go through these times of difficulty, when we go through these times of distress, when we go through these storms, our confidence is not in our ability to get through. Our confidence is not in the hope that one day they'll all be over, because that's just wishful thinking. Our confidence and our hope is in him, because he'll give us the light we need to see our way through. He's already given us the salvation we need to secure the victory. And he's given us the strength we need to just keep going. When the wicked, he says in verse 2, even mine enemies and my foes come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. David declares that his hope is in the Lord because of what God has done for him in the past. David is saying, look, my situation is impossible. I am surrounded. Do you feel like that sometimes? Do you just feel like that no matter where you turn, you just feel surrounded? You feel hemmed in? You don't know what to do, which way to turn, where to go, where to run, what to do. And then that's exactly what David is saying. But he said, even though I'm surrounded, even though all of this is getting on top of me, I'm confident. Why? Because my hope is in him. Not only does David talk about his confidence, he talks about his commitment. He says, one thing have I desired. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Not only living with our faith gives us the hope that we need because of our confidence in the Lord, but living faithful to the Lord provides a measure of hope. David mentions three goals in this verse. And these three goals all arise from a single commitment to serve the Lord faithfully, not out of duty, not out of command, but out of love. David wants to serve the Lord because he loves him. David wants to spend his entire life in the house of the Lord. He wants to be in that place where the Lord dwells. He wants to be in God's presence. That is the theme that David repeats many times in his Psalms. In Psalm 84, David envies the little birds that were able to fly around the tabernacle. Why? Why would David envy the birds that could fly into the tabernacle? Because David wasn't allowed to go into the tabernacle. Why? Because he wasn't of the tribe of Levi. So he wasn't allowed to go into the presence of God, into the Holy of Holies. That wasn't possible for him. That was his desire, to just be in the presence of God. You know, the birds could be near the house of God all the time. David couldn't. He had a desire to be where God was, to be in that place where God was worshipped, to be in that place where God was honored. That was David's heartbeat. That was David's driving force. There was a genuine desire to be near to him. Can I say this today? We are as near to God as we want to be, as we desire to be. Because here's the thing, when you accept Christ as your Savior, he indwells you immediately. But James says, if we draw nigh unto God, he draws nigh unto us. So there's a condition. If we draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to us. He's already there. You ever done this? Let me ask you now, I'm going to ask the couples. You ever been in this situation where you've argued with one another and you're in the same room, you're together, but you're not together? Maybe you've never done that, but I can guarantee you've done this. You've been in the car and you've argued in the car. You're in the car together, but there's no fellowship going on. What needs to happen? You need to draw nigh to one another. And that's the thing, as believers in Christ, we know that God's dwelling presence is with us. But unless we draw nigh to him, he won't draw nigh to us. We are as close to the Lord as we choose to be. David wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's what he wants to seek. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. David's one thing that he's seeking is to be close to the Lord. You know, we saw last week that the first thing we ought to seek is his righteousness. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And these go hand in hand. If we're seeking his righteousness, what are we doing? We're seeking his presence. David was committed to being where the Lord was. If we are going to worship the Lord, then we need to do things his way. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. As we yield to the Spirit of God, as we worship God for who he is, as he is revealed in the Word of God, when we're engaged in the business of blessing him, then we are able to have that hope that we need to just simply get through each and every day that comes our way. David expresses this desire to just be with the Lord. You ever had that where there's just one person you want to be with all the time? David just wanted to be in God's presence. He declares his utter dependence upon the Lord for all the necessities of life. David looks at his own limitations and says, do you know what, I can't do this. But David was willing and able to say, the battle doesn't belong to me. The battle belongs to the Lord. What a limited resource we've been given to be able to come into God's presence in prayer. You know, we are invited to pray. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We are invited to pray. We have been promised that God will hear our prayers. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. He tells us to ask, to seek, to knock. And he will hear us. But you know, it's incredible how we try and work things out ourselves. We want to fix everything, don't we? We want to put things right. We want to analyze everything so we can, you know, get to the bottom of why this is happening and we can put it right. And sometimes we don't even understand why this is going on. So how can we ever possibly hope to put it right? Because we ourselves simply can't comprehend why this is happening to us. And that's why we need to lean upon him. That's why we need to trust him. Because he is our hope. Instead of worrying and fear, we need to turn to the Lord. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, a difference between needs and wants. You know, our greatest need is to feel his presence in our lives when things are not going right. You know, we often think of needs as physical in nature. But our greatest needs are spiritual in nature. He'll never fail us. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be open unto you. And then finally, we see our comfort, which I've forgotten to put in that little box down the bottom. So we're still going to say commitment, but it's our comfort. Our comfort. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. David tells us that the Lord will hide us in his pavilion. Now, a pavilion, a king's pavilion, was a tent that was erected in the middle of the army's encampment. That tent was the most protected dwelling place in that encampment. Why? Because the whole army surrounded that tent. That was the safest place to be. David tells us that the Lord will hide us in his pavilion. Can I tell you as a believer in Christ that the safest place to be, the most comforting place to be, the most hopeful place to be, is in his pavilion? How incredible that the Lord has promised to hide us in his pavilion. The word hide means to treasure away. Do you fully understand what you mean to the Lord? Can you fully comprehend? You know, sometimes we kind of forget, maybe when we come around the communion table once a month, and maybe, you know, we kind of, oh yeah, okay, remember the price that Christ paid for us. But I don't think we always comprehend what we mean to him, what he gave up to save us, the fact that God took on the form of human flesh, to come down to this sin-cursed earth, to be rejected by his own family, to be rejected by his own nation, to be rejected by the people he came to save, to die upon a cross, to be convicted of something that he didn't do, to die a cruel death, to be mocked and humiliated, and to be in such agony physically, mentally, and spiritually, that he did that for us, that our sins could be forgiven, and that he could spend eternity with us in heaven. We mean the world to him. That's why he says he'll hide us in his pavilion. He'll treasure us away. Why? Because we are his treasure. We mean so much to him. You know, I don't know about you, but I hate seeing my kids upset. Can't stand it. You know, I hated when they were having difficulties in school, or when they were going through problems, or when they'd done well. I hate it. I'm like, oh, you just want to fix everything for them. But as much as my love is for them, God's love for us makes that look like nothing. So God does care when we hurt. God does care when we're upset, when we grieve, when we battle, when we fight, when we are tormented with the storms of life. God cares. And as the battle of life rages around us, God said, there's a place where I can tuck you away. I can hide you in my pavilion. The safest place to be on the battlefield. Colossians 3:3 says that our life is hid with Christ in God. Could there be a safer place in all the universe? And I'm sure how many of you at times have felt maybe things getting on top of you, and maybe maybe you've been in work and things have been stressed, and you just could not wait to get home, because all of a sudden you like walk in through the door and you're like, oh, right, okay, that's better. You know, we just need to times that feeling by infinity. The fact that the battle rages all around us, and then the Lord said, there's a place for you right here. A place of safety, a place of security. That's the promise that the King himself has given to us. A place that's protected from the enemy. The assurance of his sheltering allows us then to weather the storms of life with hope. That's how David was able to face Goliath. That's what kept Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah safe in the fiery furnace. That's what child of God after child of God down through the centuries has relied upon, whether they've been martyred for their faith or whether they've been ridiculed because of who they are in Christ. And they know that they were safe in the pavilion of the Lord. He shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. The secret refers there to the Holy of Holies, the place which was off limits to everybody but the high priest. It could only be entered in there one day a year. And yet that's the place where God says, I'll give you the safety and security that you need. I'm thankful for the fact that there's a place of solitude in a world filled with such hatred, in a world faced with such distress and harm, that we can find that peace and serenity and quiet that we so desperately need in our lives. You know, it's incredible that Stephen found that place even at the moment of his death. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Stephen saw that place and saw the strength of that place even in the face of death. But guess what? That place is available to us even in life, because Paul was in that place where he said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." That's how Paul was able to sing in the prison at midnight. That's how Peter was able to sleep when he was in that prison. That's how we're able to get through the battles that we face. That's how we're able to have that hope. Why? Because our comfort is in him. Our commitment is to him. Our confidence is in him. And that gives us hope. It is possible, friend, for us to enter into that place. And that's where the world grows dimmer and the Lord grows brighter. David had that assurance that even when life threatened to overflow him, the Lord would set him up onto that rock. He shall set me upon a rock. In Psalm 40, and verse 1 to 2, it said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry, and brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the mighty clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." And you notice that sometimes in life we just want stability. We just want that security. We just wish that life weren't full of so many ups and downs, that it would just be smooth. Well, guess what? When your feet's planted upon the rock, it doesn't matter how many ups and downs there are, there will always be the stability that we need because of the rock that our feet are planted upon. We are promised that place of refuge far above the stormy seas. This doesn't mean that storms won't come in our life. It just means that with the comfort we have in the Lord, we can rise above them. What did Isaiah say? "But those that wait on the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles." When a storm comes, the eagle doesn't flee from the storm. It doesn't head to the nest. The eagle actually goes towards the storm. And what happens then is the eagle just spreads out its wings, allows the thermals to take it from the storm and simply climb above it. Being a Christian doesn't mean that storms won't come our way. But being a Christian means that we have somebody that will get us through the storms. He is a rock, a solid rock, that helps us to stand firm when we feel like we are tossed about to and fro with all of the feelings and the emotions that come our way from the difficulties that we face. How incredible to know that we have that hope in him. "One thing will I seek." You know, I challenged you a couple of weeks ago to make some changes in your daily routine, so that you made sure that you sought the Lord as early as possible in your daily routine. You made it as a priority. If there's one thing you need to seek this week, seek his presence. If you were here today or you were watching online and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then can I say this? Seek him. Ask him into your life. Believe that he died for you. Admit that you've sinned and you've fallen short of his glory, and call upon his name, and the Bible says you'll be saved. Now, that doesn't mean that the storms of life then suddenly go away. What it does mean is that you've now got a firm foundation to withstand the storms of life. You've now got a place where God can hide you in his pavilion, which is the safest place on the battlefield. David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what I'm going to seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, we have a misunderstanding of what the house of the Lord is, because we often refer to the church as the house of the Lord. It doesn't mean that we need to be in here forever now, that you will spend the rest of your days in Bethany Baptist Church, and you will be here in the comfort of these lovely pews forever, and you will never leave. No, that's called kidnapping. David had a desire to be in God's presence. We have God's presence with us all the time. But we're still only as close to him as we desire to be. So can I challenge you this week to seek his presence? Draw nigh unto the Lord, and he will draw nigh unto you. And even with the enemy surrounding you, even with the battle raging all around you, he's promised, as a result of seeking him, to hide you in his pavilion, in the secret of that tabernacle, right in the center of his presence. That is where you'll find the hope you need just to get through the battle that you are facing right now. The battle doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. But if your hope is in him, then can I say this to you? Everything will be okay. Father, we thank you again for this day, for this time together, and for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, I just pray that if there's anyone listening to this message today that has yet to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, would they do that today? Father, maybe there's somebody watching here today that is facing a battle that nobody else knows anything about, but you know exactly what the need is. So, Father, I pray that somebody today might recognize that you are their light, that you are their salvation, that you are their strength, and that you and you alone can hide us in your pavilion, which is the safest and most secure place for us to be. Help us as a church this week, Lord, to seek your presence. Help us to have that desire that David had to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to be in your presence, to know your presence, to feel your presence with us. That's what our confidence is in. That's what our commitment ought to be. And that's where we can take our comfort from. Because all of those things give us the hope that we need to just keep facing these battles. Father, we just ask now that you would continue to bless our time together today. And as we leave this place, you would help us to reflect upon your word and help us to seek your presence. And as we draw nigh unto you this week, we would feel you drawing nigh unto us. Thank you again, Lord, for this time together today. We just ask all of these things in Christ's most precious name. Amen. Amen. We stand and sing our last hymn together. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, John.